guys are ridiculous. These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. Sam and I are here recording on Saturday, May 4th. I'm here at the Auerbach Center after Celtics practice. We are ready to rock. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Kristaps Porzingis being the bulk of it. We're in between series for the Celtics. The Magic won game 6. So it's going to 7 and the Celtics don't play again until Tuesday. All the stuff. A reminder is always leave a like on the video. Subscribe to How About Them Celtics. We'd appreciate it very much. And follow us on podcast platforms if that's where you're listening. Sam, how are you doing today?
Oh, look at this. A minute in, we got the red light. What a shit show, disgusting fucking performance from this shitter net. I even turned this shit off yesterday and turned it back on to give it a breather. Ugh. You can leave this in. Did you ask me how I was doing today? Was there a toss? Well, as you can see, I'm not doing great. The Wi-Fi is fucking around, but I am excited for the show. We have a great show for you today. We have Cavs Magic, Would You Rather. We have email check-in. Who doesn't love hearing from RJ and the gang? We have a check-in on the second round series, kind of a little preview, and then we have post-mortems of all the shit teams that have already been eliminated. Couldn't be...
We're here. We're ready to rock. Sam's Wi-Fi is clearly ready to rock. But we'll start with the story of the day. Story of, I guess, the playoffs for the Celtics. Kristaps Porzingis spoke at Celtics practice for the first time since his injury. Talked about the recovery. Talked about everything. I wrote about it for Celtics blog. So if you'd like it in written form, you can go read that there. But a lot of good stuff. A lot of interesting stuff. Kind of all without saying anything at the same time. But the biggest quote I think that a lot of people are running with, and rightfully so, because it's the most significant, he was asked, like, is there a target date? Like, are you looking to come back? He said, there's no, like, specific date. Obviously, it's still pretty early. I think it will be clear once I start doing more stuff. Once I start doing more stuff, it will be clear. Yes, that is the exact quote. He said the same thing twice. But then he said, but yeah, not super close yet. Not super close yet. And then he sort of joked, but expected to recover at a historic rate. Tongue in cheek, saying, I'm getting my ass back on the court as soon as I possibly can. Obviously, while taking the proper precautions, he also emphasized the fact that he's like, the worst thing is to re-aggravate it. So I'm being careful, but he is optimistic. He is in good spirits. He's very upset that he can't play in the playoffs because that's like the main reason he wanted to be in Boston. But he's doing all right, just not close quite yet.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody with a head on their shoulders expected him to be ready to go for this second round series. It definitely feels like he's going to miss some time. I think the two of us have the conference finals as the day, or not the day, the range of time that we're expecting at least more progress, and maybe him being back would be then. I just don't think he's going to play against either of these teams in the next round. So you have to hope that he can recover okay. Giannis spoke about the injury a little bit with The Athletic. And if you didn't know, same injury as Kristaps. And he was kind of talking about it, and he was explaining the process of recovering. And what Kristaps has to say is very true. Giannis is somebody with a track record of healing quickly. Now, this does not mean Kristaps will not heal quickly. It just means he may have strained it to a less degree. We don't know. But Giannis was like, I expect to heal quickly. And then I went out and I tried to do drills. It was a drill where he puts a lot of weight and pressure on the one leg trying to burst, and he felt the cramp, the pain, whatever. He was like, oh boy. And this was like before game one of that first round against the Pacers. So he really just had to keep going day by day and hope it would get better. And Doc came out and was like, I think he was close to being ready to play, maybe would have played in game 7. And then Giannis in that Athletic article was like, I'm not even close. Like, I'm not sure how there is that much of a disconnect between two people on the same team with an injury. And maybe, I mean, crazy. I also don't, for what it's worth, think Doc is lying. I just think he's misinformed. I think he just doesn't know. Because what value is there in him being like, oh yeah, we won, Giannis was coming back. If anything, it's more people being mad that you lost.
It doesn't make any sense. The Bucks are a mess, and they're out of the playoffs for a reason. What a disastrous season for them. You almost feel bad because the Giannis thing was a freak thing. And like, I do think the Bucks probably would have beat the Pacers if Giannis was healthy, but draw's the draw. It's unfortunate, but Porzingis injured his calf April 29th. The conference finals start May 19th, which is roughly pretty exactly 3 weeks after the injury. Not saying that he's going to be done in 3 weeks. He obviously didn't give a timetable. However, just some context for those tracking the injury. And when I say those, I mean literally every single person who watches the Celtics tracking the injury. But yeah, Porzingis was just saying, like, it'll take a little bit of time, doing everything I can to speed it up because I want to be back out there as soon as possible, but understanding that the worst thing would be to re-aggravate it. Said he plans to travel with the team, or he hopes to travel with the team at the very least and help Al and Cornette and Tillman. Also noted that, importantly, this injury is worse than the one from earlier in the season. So earlier in the season, he had a low-grade calf strain. He heard it in the Magic game against the Magic on November 24th. He was back 2 weeks later. He said, this one is stronger, worse. Yeah, I didn't want to use that word, but yeah, it's a little bit worse for sure. And yeah, just going to take it a little bit longer probably, but keeping a positive mindset. So it sounds like it's going to be at least 2 weeks. So luckily for the Celtics, with the Cavs Magic going to seven, their first playoff game against those two is not going to start for a full week after the injury occurred. So that's 1 week. And then the series is going to take at least another week. And then the conference finals don't start since the injury. So he's going to have for sure more time. It's just a matter of how much more time and how much worse this is. But he seems in good spirits. He talked a lot about how upset he is. Adam Himmelsbach asks, like, how tough is it for you considering, like, this is why, like, you came here? Like, he goes, tough. I'm not gonna lie, it's tough. The first few moments, like, he was very upset when he was like, he you could see on his face, like, he was very,
just
like,
talking like me in trivia frustrated. When it's like the last round, I'm like, this is tough.
Yeah, tough. Well, yeah, except he's actually upset and you're being an asshole.
I'm not being an asshole, it is very, like, tough. We're basically in the same position where I'm trying to guess, like, trying not to screw up by guessing the wrong name when I'm holding on to Steed's money in the back pocket, then I lose.
I am presenting a man who's clearly extremely upset that he can't play in the playoffs, and he came here for a whole reason, and his whole season is shut, and you're just laughing at him. You're just laughing at some things.
Robert De Niro and the Joker. He's like, people are dying. You're laughing. Insane.
He said, it's not gonna lie, it's tough. The first few moments I was like, and he sighed. He said, I guess it gets you down for a second, but it is what it is. It's part of the sport. These things happen. The best I can do now is be like, okay, what's the next thing I can do to get healthy as soon as possible and follow the plan. And, just said he's looking forward to being back, but he's very upset, but he seems to be in better spirits now than he was, because I think at the time he thought it was worse than it was. So at the very least, he thought, like, after he got the MRI, he was relieved and he was like, okay, it's not as bad as it could have been, not as bad as I thought originally. Also, for what it's worth, said the only correlation he made between the plays leading up to the calf strain, he talked about rolling his ankle on Tyler Hero's foot. But then he said, like, maybe he was favoring the right calf a little bit too much because of the ankle, but he didn't say, like, they were directly related outside of maybe he was favoring it. So just added context for those who watched the game and understand how it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody in our comments was like talking about the Hero ankle row. So, it's good that he mentioned it. I personally didn't think there was a major correlation. It really couldn't have been that much more injuring your ankle and then having to put a little bit more pressure on your other leg. Shouldn't cause what we saw from Porzingis. So, you know, it's not something you can hang your hat on too much there. But yeah, sure. As long as he's in good spirits, it's a good thing. Because when that happened, watching him leave the game in Miami, I thought he was done. That was my initial take. I was so mad. My mom had just gotten home and, like, I was like, not having it. She's trying to talk to me. I'm like, he just hurt himself. Not now.
What was she trying to talk about?
She was like, I don't know why you're mad. Like, they're up. I'm like, Porzingis just hurt himself.
Was she not paying attention? Like, what?
Well, she had, like, literally just, like, came in.
Oh.
But, like, I wasn't trying to have a conversation. I was 10,000 mile stare forward. I was just had PTSD to the Hayward injury when she was trying to talk to me while I was watching the game, and then all I heard when I was turned around was Hayward has broken his leg. I was devastated.
I remember it that the Hair Brokers Love. You're gonna laugh. I did acapella in college, and so I was at rehearsal, and me and this other guy were watching the game on our phones, and we were across from each other, like we were all in a circle, stuff. But we were like, it wasn't our turn to sing or whatever, so we're watching the game, and that happens. We both just look up, like at the same time, just make eye contact, like fuck.
It devastating, man.
It was horrible.
That was quite the year, because then it was just all you heard about was when's he coming back. And remember him like running in like the circles, like they had the circles on the floor, and he was putting his feet in each circle as he was taking strides.
Yeah,
what a time.
Also, it looks like this is random. This is just live. It looks like our last pod. It did. Okay. I panicked. Justin Quinn just texted me and saying your last few pods haven't showed up for me on podcast platforms. So I had like a panic attack. And so I'm sitting here and it says last pod Thursday. And it's been so long since Thursday. I'm like, wait, they haven't been going up. And I'm like, wait, no, that is the last. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So we're
good. I wonder why they're not showing up for him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to him, but he just gave me a panic attack. So shout out Justin. Episode 480 is the last one that came through. Yeah, that is the last one. Hold on. Now I'm just messaging him back because he scared me.
What the fuck? In all caps. Lose my number.
Oh, man. Okay. Whew, panic. Okay, we're good.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch all the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. One of our favorite picks here at the How About Them Celtics podcast is the Jrue Holiday blocks. It's usually 0.5. He just needs more than 0.5 blocks. That means one Jrue Holiday block. And that pick is in the bag. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Speaking of panic, get ready to watch other fan bases panic on Sunday as the Cavs and Magic play Game 7. Winner will play the Celtics. Tuesday, Game 1 at the Garden, 7 p.m. The segment is, would you rather? Would you rather play the Cavs or Magic, and why?
It feels weird for you to ask me, because usually I'm not asking you. I'd rather play the Cavs. From a Celtics perspective, I think the obvious answer is the Cavs. I think the Cavs are – it's weird. Because I think the Cavs are the better overall team than the Magic. But I think the Cavs are easier for the Celtics to beat than the Magic, if that makes sense. Because I think with Donovan Mitchell and with Darius Garland in the rotation, you're going to have two guys constantly on the floor who are, like, you can pick on. Like, every single time down the floor. Like, you saw Jrue Holiday post up Tyler Hero. Darius Garland's going to get cooked. You saw Jaylen Brown post up Tyler Hero. Donovan Mitchell's cooked. Like, those guys aren't going to be able to defend with the offensive lineup the Celtics have assembled. One's going to have to guard Derek White. The other's going to have to guard Jrue Holiday. But then they're just going to set a screen and get them to switch. And if they don't switch, then they're going to have a run to the basket. Like, it's going to be a mess. I said this on Talking Seas the other day, but the entirety of the other Cavs game earlier in the season was the Celtics running a pick and roll with Tatum and the big, and then getting Jared Allen switched onto Tatum. And then Tatum cooked him, got to the rim, or he got a step back three because he created so much space that he had an open three. Like it's just, I don't think the Cavs are able to defend the Celtics at a high enough level to win the series. And then when you consider that they've had two sub 90 point games and are one of four teams to have it, I don't trust their offense really either. They had 96 points last night, I think, and Donovan Mitchell had 47 of them. Like, I don't trust the Cavs offense.
No, it's 50.
I just don't.
He had 50 of them.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. Of 96 or of 99? Because I remember
of 96, 50 of 96 were Donovan Mitchell. So I did a little like rundown of just last night's game on the sheet. This is what I wrote. Magic Force Game 7 last night. Holy fuck, do the Cavs look fucking awful. Jared Allen is hurt. Marcus Morris Sr. started yesterday. He shot 1 of 7. You know he's going to make all the shots against Celtics, by the way, if they play them. I'm not convinced we shall be holding a team where it looks like everyone not named Donovan Mitchell needs some sunglasses because these lights are too fucking bright. Mitchell had all 18 of Cleveland's fourth quarter points yesterday. So not only did he have over half of the team's total points, but he was the only guy to score the ball in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, literally the boys without their sunglasses are having their corneas burned right out. Darius Garland is dribbling the ball up and gets an 8-second violation, essentially like with the game on the line. Orlando just threw a haymaker. You didn't see this. Yeah, you went out last night, so you didn't have a chance to watch this. So,
oh my God,
this game is close in the fourth quarter. This is not the like final possession of the game, but they're trading blows back and forth, matching buckets, etc. Darius Garland gets a rebound off, I believe, Apollo missed free throw and gets an 8-second violation, and it wasn't even close.
Oh no, I just you can't do this, man.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, like, no. Are we sure this team is scary for the Celtics? Like, Jared Allen is hurt. He's a good player and he's not playing. Look at
this. This is so bad. Finally gets through. Did the shot clock start early? Why is it started already? They don't have the ball, do they? Oh, they kind of do.
It got touched after the free throw miss.
Where is he going?
He's just taking his time, dude. He's trying to like make an
That's so bad.
I give Celtics a really hard time about mental mistakes sometimes, like Tatum taking bad shots, guys rushing, even in the last series, right? Like, you have a mismatch. Why are you taking a fadeaway? If they were down 5 points with 3 minutes left and somebody took an 8-second violation, I think I might go into cardiac arrest in a closeout game where I'm like, oh, dude, you know what would be nice is not watching game 7.
Dude, I love Franz Wagner like pumping his fist like he did something. Look at him. He's like, yeah.
He's like, oh my God, Darius Garland literally has a monkey with cymbals in his head.
That's crazy. That's so unbelievably unacceptable. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I will say, good thing that they put, you know how we were talking, like when the Celtics Heat series are still going on, like Cavs Magic are going to play game 4 before the Celtics finish game 3. Good. I'm glad that happened because it took so long.
Yeah, maybe we're not. Maybe we're not glad.
Why? It's true. Celtics could have had even more time to rest. Always. Yeah, you're right. The Magic.
I agree with you. Cavs.
I was watching this game a little bit before we left to go out, and one of the only things I saw was fucking Jalen Suggs chuck up a Steph Curry 3-and-1. I was just like, I'm not. If they're making that, then the Cavs have no fucking chance. What are we doing?
I think Orlando was up. God. So I went to the movies last night, so I didn't see the whole game, but I did see the important, as everyone likes to say, important part of the game, even though the whole thing's important. Man, did Cleveland just look awful down the stretch. They look terrible on the road. And, like, just thinking about, like, okay, they won't have home court against the Celtics, and every time they have played down at Kia Center in Orlando, they have looked brainless. So that would make me feel better about playing against them. I still contend that they're not going to punch back against a good team. Like, the Don Mitchell thing is weird. I'm sure he's not thrilled that he's literally backpacking them and they're still losing. So I'd imagine when things go wrong, there might be some finger pointing that happens in the locker room. And 3, seems like the Magic are kind of married to wearing blue at home. So if the Celtics play them, that means they have to wear white on the road. And I'm just not interested black. In seeing. Can they? Or is that against the colorblind palette? I think the two dark colors can make it tough to decipher. So they might have to roll.
But their blue is pretty vibrant. Like, it's not like a navy blue. Like, it's not like the Pelicans blue. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I wonder if they can get away with it.
Cleveland has worn blue. I mean, white in all the games.
I wonder. Let me see. Celtics.
I think Cleveland might have worn white every game in the series.
Really?
Yeah. I think they've been honorable in terms of the home whites.
So it looks like the Celtics.
Don't tell me.
When the Magic. Wow, these two teams, every time they played each other this season, they wore the same exact jerseys every time.
Yeah.
So they wore dark blue. Oh, no, that's a lie. So they wore dark blue. Yeah, they wore the dark blue ones, and the Celtics wore green. So that was allowed.
Oh, they did.
Another one. Well, this is it's not the same blue that they've been wearing this series.
We might be back. It's a still. Dark.
No, yeah, but it's a darker blue. So I don't know if they could get away with the green with the more vibrant blue.
Maybe they can go with the black.
The Magic wore dark blue at home in the in-season tournament. And the Celtics wore their in-season tournament jerseys, the white ones. And then the Magic wore dark blues at TD Garden. Or no, then the Magic wore white at TD Garden, and the Celtics wore black.
This has potential to be a catastrophe.
Yeah, this you might bad. Be fucked.
Is the equipment manager there? Oh,
at that point, no.
Probably somewhere.
At that point, all the Celtics can do is wear white at home and let the rest take care of itself.
Lord That's carry them plan. Now. The equipment manager puts in the white request at home. He's like, prayers up. Basketball gods, look out for us, please.
No, but I'd rather play the Cavs. I think that's an easier matchup. I think the Magic play with a good level of physicality, and that could bother the Celtics a little bit, even though I think the Celtics should beat both these teams in four or five games.
It is a little funny that I'm like leaning on the, oh, Cleveland won't fight back while it's going to go to a game seven.
Yeah.
But I still believe that, though. Like, if they probably feel like they're the better team than the Magic, if they feel like they're outmatched, it's going to be a little bit harder to stay strong, I think.
We'll see. All right, shall we check the email out to see what people have up. To say there? All righty. A reminder
Unless
as always.
Anything else interesting from practice? But
nah, it was KP and a bunch of slop.
Nice to say about Cornette.
No, Cornette was great. I asked him a couple questions, but none that I'm going to share here yet.
All right.
Pulling up the It'll email.
Be up on the weekends.
Nope. Reminder as always, to email us hbtcpod@gmail.com. We'd appreciate it very much. We love hearing what you guys have to say. Join RJ and the crew, like Sam said. All right. First email from RJ. What's popped? The Heat, that's what. Happy Wednesday night to everyone. Not even close. The last time the Heat had led had the lead under 20 points was with 4:11 to go, and Drew Holiday hit a pair of free throws to push it back to a 21-point cushion. The Celtics won every quarter, with keeping the Heat under 25 points for each quarter. JB scored the winning bucket with 5 minutes left in the third quarter to give the Celtics 86 points. Whatever hold Miami had on the Celtics fans' hearts and minds, let's let it go. This team and this coach have demonstrated that they can beat the Heat. I'm sure Celtics PTSD mongers can find something to stress about going into round two. But for right now, let's relax with a refreshing cup of Heat tears to the lilting trains of We Want Boston. Lastly, this was a great start to the Mike Gorman retirement parade. It ends with everyone riding the Ducks. Be well, and let's get this thing. RJ, and a very contented fan tonight. W.
Do I have any PTSD yet to like float out there? I already did like the jersey thing. Dean Wade's hurt. I think Marcus Morris Sr. is going to light them up in one game.
George
Niang. They play Cleveland. Not even him. I think it's going to be Marcus Morris. I'm just ready.
Marcus Morris.
The black hole. Yeah. Just going to get buckets.
All right. Mo Wagner. Let's see. Next one. Mo Wagner. Ian. What's popping? Yes. I'm back, bitches. It's been too long not catching live games, live streams, and emailing in some analysis and a forward look. Jesus Christ. And a forward look. Heat literally only won a game from a lazy Celtics team and a hot Heat team. There was nothing else going for them. Wasn't worried about it since half of game one.
Makes
game five was five work by the boys and overall no complaints. Few noted highlights to me. Jay's worked post mismatches, not just fading turnaround jumpers, but actually banged down low and forced a reaction from the Heat. The turnaround Jays were from 8 to 12 instead of 15 to 18. I still vote get rid of them. Luke did enough work. Big boy got boards and seemed to actually cause some trouble for Bam on the primary defender. Absolutely not bad for third center. Matching up against an all-star. He actually defended Bam. Like, the numbers were really good. Bam shot like 2 of 10 something against Cornette. Like, he did a really good job. Derek White hot, enough said. I like seeing Hauser take a few clean shots off the dribble and not just catch and shoot threes. Small thing, but really opens up his game if he can consistently relocate, turn, fire, all with the ball already in his hands. Pritchard looked like he was trying to fill a role instead of just being himself. Too much time driving the lane while with seemingly no goal in mind. Getting caught up and the offense struggled for it, though a lot of the issues were in the garbage in the fourth of game five, where the refs just wanted the clock running, so won't put too much on it. But a note I had for him, hold up, I need to increase this on my laptop, the size of this, because I'm struggling.
Jack's got the magnifying glass out trying to read. He's got a monocle on.
It's fucking tiny. We had a quote sphere of Spo, and now Heat will always do some BS, Miami BS against us. What are the concerns for Orlando or Cleveland? What is the way they could give the Seas fits, and how do you see the Seas combating it? To me, Orlando are young, streaky, long, and athletic. The tough part will be when they get hot and make the Seas work. But all they have to do, for my thinking, is just play their game, lock in on Dean, get the ball going the other direction to keep good movement and tack the inconsistencies in the Magic. The Land has more star power and good guard play. They seem to be an all-around squad and be able to attack in any way they feel or need to. If Holiday and White play well, I'm honestly not too worried. Brown likes to get some minutes on Mitchell, too. Cleveland strikes me as just a better Heat team, especially missing Jimmy. And really, the way to attack them is to make their guys earn every bucket in the Seas should be able to just power over. All in all, surface level analysis on two teams I don't watch and I don't have true worries about. Either way, Seas pull the win with little stress, five or six games, depending on if the Magic get hot or if the Seas let the Cavs play their way. Long one to get back into it. Keep up the solid content and catch you all in the next pod. Best Sods Boris on YouTube. Shout out. Whew. Thank you.
Gotta get for the inhaler. You should get a bacon inhaler.
For the bit?
Like you read an email, you just...
Next one from RJ. What's poppin' connections? Happy Friday, guys. A quick note after watching the awful coaching vid. Joe talks about everything being connected, defense leading to offense and vice versa. We've seen the Seas have games where their lack of offense has led to poor defensive outings. It was nice to see the Celtics stay locked in on defense against the Heat for at least for the last three games, even when their shot isn't falling for a little while. I'm curious, of their two possible second-round opponents, which one do you think the Celtics might lead the Seas to being a little more slack on defense? Also, do you think the Seas might slack off simply because whoever it turns out to be isn't an accursed Heat? Be well and enjoy virtual August for the next day or so. It's true. Be well, RJ. Thank you, RJ.
What do you think?
I think they're fine. I think they're locked. I think they are locked in for the playoffs, and I think they're going to treat it as such. I'm confident.
I feel like we can't make this conclusion until I see the jersey, but overall, it does feel like game two was the wake-up call they might have needed against Miami. Like, Tatum came out and talked about it after the series, and I think we kicked it around on here too. Them playing a Miami team that they have history with in the first round had a different effect than playing Atlanta, who nobody thought was any good last year, and they kind of walked through, even though it went to six. Like, they did sleepwalk and fucked around, lost a couple games, and they were clearly not trying to do that in this series. The one game was an awful lapse, but the rest of them, there was no characteristic of, like, nonsense, shit show, none of it.
Yeah, I think the Celtics team is different here, as they say. My bad. Next one from Micah Hilly, officiating debate. What's popping, guys? Hope all is well. Me and my friend keeps arguing about one thing, officiating. He keeps seeing the refs letting them play physical and says, why don't they just call fouls when they happen? Follow the rules of basketball the way they are written. And I will explain the way they're written, excuse me. And I will explain. Nobody wants to watch a free throw fest like we saw with James Harden, Trae Young foul baiting all the time. He says, then why don't they just not foul? If they changed the way they called it, people would be forced to play differently. I'm obviously pro letting them play, but I'm curious your take on this debate. I hope I clarified enough for you. From Michael Peters is the GOAT, Michael Hilly. I do think they need to change some rules. Like, I do think they need to change the rules so the refs just aren't. Like, I think your friend makes sense in terms of if they're the rules, call the rules or change the rules. Like, don't just not call shit because that's how you think the game should be called. That said, I like the way the physicality is being allowed lately.
I'm a fan of letting them play. But I do think got to get rid of the offensive guy just break checking guys. The Brunson bucket at the end of the Philly game.
Sixers, yeah.
I was none too pleased watching that. I think I messaged the roundtable chat. I was like, they need to ban that.
Sixers fans are really mad because Maxey was like doing the same thing the whole series and not getting any of them, and then Brunson was just getting the call every single time he did it. So they were none too pleased that was going down.
standby. There was a great Reddit post about this on the Celtics sub. There's going to be a lot for me to scroll through, I think, because they had the pressers today. But the summary of it was like coaching 101 or like coaching tree or something like that, and was like, get ready for the Jalen Brunson reverse headbutt. You have to be ready for it in the conference finals. Don't let him get away with it and play defense accordingly. And it just, it made me chuckle. I don't think I'm going to find it.
Yeah. Philly fans were very mad that Maxey wasn't getting those calls and Brunson was, because they were very similar. But yeah.
Joe Mishmin writes, Celtics coaches, take note of Brunson's reverse headbutt. Brunson has pulled this move countless times over and over again. Get by the defender, put him on your back as you drive, slow, slightly, and jump backwards, headbutting the defender. If we see the Knicks later, be ready for that. Brown is absolutely going to get two fouls in the first quarter on this play. Run it in practice. Figure out how to get around it. That's some danger.
I think the solution is Derek White block from behind. Easy peasy. See you later.
It's all fun and games till he's missing good teeth night. From getting headbutted.
Yeah, that's all right. He'll handle it. Last email from RJ. What's popping? Toughness, discipline, and focus. Happy Saturday morning, guys. This used to be the time I would watch cartoons as a kid. Now I write to my two favorite characters, the joys of growing up. Your video today about, quote, toughness was fascinating because so often we get locked in on one, usually narrow, notion of a word in sports. Toughness is seen the way you described, a physical manifestation of resolving conflict. Describe someone as a, quote, tough guy, and it conjures images of someone who will punch first and ask questions later. But toughness or fortitude can also mean that a person has resolved to hold their principles in all circumstances. Sees toughness comes in not being knocked off their mental line to get to their goal. Just like JB or JT has the strength to drive to the basket through contact and finish at the rim, the Celtics as a squad aren't being pushed out of their mindset. Take a sip, Missoula Bingo players, by extraneous BS. Also take a moment to bask in O'Shea Brissett's receipt video that he dropped on Friday. It's 19 minutes and 37 seconds of beauty. Be well, and let's get this thing done. RJ, who does enjoy a well-done takedown. I didn't watch the video, but I saw the images of the receipts. It was very funny.
I need to watch that. I'll probably enjoy it.
Before the series, he was like, Heat fans, we want Boston. You shouldn't want Boston. Or something. He was like talking shit. And then everyone was just like, get a job. Like, you don't even play. And then he just brought up all
get a job. Damn.
I think he told them to get a job, actually. I think he told them to get a job. But
okay.
Respect.
Go ahead, tell him to touch yeah. grass.
Thank you for the emails. We appreciate it. All right. Let's move on to our second round preview, shall we?
Hell yes. I'll put
that. All right. Let's start with Pacers-Knicks. So Pacers just wrapped up a series. I would say a pretty impressive series against the Bucks. I know they were without Giannis for the entirety, and they were without Dame for a few games, or just at least two games.
He was hurt in game four.
Yeah, I was going to say. But the Pacers look really good. Pascal Siakam looked awesome. Tyrese Haliburton stepped up when he needed to. Ben Shepherd like randomly plays rotation minutes now and is really good. So he's been impressive. Andrew Nembhard was a beast. And then on the other side, you've got a Knicks team, Nesmith as well. On the other side, you got a Knicks team who just battled it out with the Sixers, got it done in six. Brunson has been Jesus Christ himself for the last like three games. Josh Hart's averaging like 12 and a half rebounds a game. Dante DiVincenzo stepping up. Ananobi looks awesome. Hartenstein and Robinson, Miles McBride, everybody is just stepping up for them. So I'm really excited for the series. I think a lot of people have penciled in like, oh yeah, the Knicks will probably win, and I'd probably pick Knicks too. But I think this is going to be a really, really good series. I think the Pacers are going to test them because, as people like to point out, and people have pointed out since this became the matchup, this is like the fastest paced team in the NBA versus the slowest paced team in the NBA. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out on the court. So I'm excited.
Also, Josh Hart might've gotten hurt. I don't know if there was actually an update on that. You may have seen it, but he like was limping around in that Philly game. I mean, he obviously looked fine at the end, made the big three to kind of be the dagger. But there was a point in that game where they were making a huge deal about him being hurt. So I'm curious to see if he has that same spring in his step on the glass. For those interested, Knicks are minus 245 to win the series. Pacers are plus 200 underdogs. We kind of talked about this, but it does feel like the Knicks passed a real test in the Sixers, even though it's the Sixers and it's kind of funny to label them as a real test, but it felt like that series was extremely close the entire time and they showed up in the big spots while Philly melted. However, kind of feels like the Pacers have that same crackhead energy. Like Nesmith, Nembhard, McConnell, they're all like cut from the same cloth as these Knicks guys.
Fucking TJ McConnell. That motherfucker stepped up so big in game six. He's a little
him and Obi Toppin who have a little chip on his shoulder. Yeah, imagine.
It's true. It's true. Also, subplot, Raptors fans get to watch the series and cry. Pascal versus Obi. Yes.
Raptors Civil War. Siakam, I forgot, was on this Pacers team until the playoffs started because they just didn't play the Celtics after the trade. And I was and like, oh, yeah, they have him on there.
Really good. He's played really, really good. Like 30, and OG.
35 in the first two games. Like mm-hmm. He averaged 35.
And OG's also been really good. Dude, the Raptors are going to look back on this and be like, holy shit, we didn't get enough for these two fuckers. Like, damn. Maybe. That's so tough.
I think they got a decent return, but still, yes.
Dude, it's going to be, I was listening to Zach Lowe talk about it. It's going to be three late first round picks and Bruce Brown, who's whatever, right, for them. And then RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly and a second is like cool. But
they probably OG didn't Anunoby, get
it. Yeah, OG Anunoby is so like he's fucking really, really good. Siakam in the series averaged 22-8-4 on 54-27 splits. He had a big first two games, like you mentioned. Meanwhile, OG Anunoby so far in the playoffs has averaged, obviously he's playing 42 minutes, so to keep that in context, but 15-7, a steal and a block a game on 51-33 splits, and his defense has been fucking phenomenal. So the Raptors Civil War, like you said, I think if I had to pick, I'd probably go Knicks in seven, but I do think this is going to be a long, very fun series, and I think the Pacers do have a chance to win, which is crazy considering it's the Pacers.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know. It feels like maybe this like bites the Knicks in the ass like the same way it would for the Celtics, but it doesn't feel like that's in their DNA. It just feels like the big series is come and gone for them until the conference finals. Like, usually you have to like pass one test, and like as much as Philly is a joke, like it did feel like they gave them a run for their money and they probably could have won all of the games in the series, yet they went 2-4. So the Knicks took care of business there. I don't know. I don't know what to think of the Pacers in this situation. It's different than against Milwaukee. You made a great point about the pace, so that's something to keep your eyes on. But like Milwaukee, the whole team's old. They don't want to have to get out and run in transition and keep up with a team like Indiana. And you saw after the first game, the series went on and they did not look as good. I mean, they struggled. They weren't effective. Brooke Lopez wasn't effective. Middleton had to do the biggest carry job of all time just to get him to six games.
Do you see him crying at the end of the game? That was sad. I felt bad.
Should have been crying, dude. He worked
so hard to get back, and to see him like have to like go out like that. That was sad. I felt bad. I don't subscribe to the whole, oh, their test is already come and gone. Like, you have to play the team in front of you. So I don't think they had a hard first round series doesn't mean they're going to not have a hard second round series. Like the 08 Celtics went to 7 in their first two series, right? So
they did.
I think this is going to be another long series for the Knicks, and those minutes are going to pile up, which good for the Celtics if they do. But
I would love to see them lose. Nobody wants the Knicks to lose more than me, except for probably Pacers. Before,
heading into the season, I don't think we would have thought Knicks-Pacers second-round matchup in the playoffs.
Yeah, Knicks-Pacers second-round in Celtics versus Orlando or Cleveland.
Yeah, either of them. It's kind of wild. Milwaukee, Philly, and Miami all being out is like... Because I think a lot of people expected it to be those four in the semis. Yes. So
I mean, the Bucks were title favorites with Boston and Denver before the season. Now they're watching games in early Gone. May.
See you later. Second year in a row. I'll go Knicks in seven. Do you have a prediction?
I think they'll win in five or six, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. You're not in on the Pacers at all. Okay.
I don't know. It feels like a letdown spot for the Pacers.
Interesting. Okay. We'll see.
I have like a weird feeling about it. I'm rooting for them, but I don't know. Low expectations. The amount of like dopamine I'm going to get from this if they really compete.
For what it's worth, I think I'm also rooting for the Pacers. From a who I like to watch perspective, from a Jack has to travel perspective, probably don't want to go to Indiana. So I won't be upset either way. But Okay, next one. Mavs Thunder. Mavs closed out the Clippers last night as we're recording this. Clippers went out sad. Mavs stepped up. Kyrie's been really good in the playoffs so far. Thunder stormed through the Pelicans. I think this is going to be a really good series. I think both teams have an actual chance to win. I actually don't know who I lean. And so I think we have to think what we discussed, because I think the whole Thunder are young and inexperienced seems unfair, because they just won a playoff series and like handedly, but that Pelicans team was also not at full strength and it was kind of whatever. This Mavs team, red hot to end the season. Luka, with the fact that Luka or Shea probably isn't the best player in the series is like significant, I'd say. Like that tells you how good the Mavs are. Kyrie's been on fire. I don't know. I think I'd pick the Thunder, but I think the Mavs have a like a bigger chance than I gave the Pacers, and I was in on the Pacers. So I'm excited for this series as well.
Yeah, the sportsbook agrees with you. Mavs are minus 105 as slight underdogs, Thunder minus 115. So it's going to be a series. At least that's what all the people that are like, hey, come give me your money, think. Is this the MVP conversation series? Two guys that everybody wanted to be like, hey, you should mention them when you talk about the MVP, but they obviously were not going to win it, are facing off for the second place, the silver medal of the MVP, maybe. And then they can play Jokic for the belt in the next round if they get through. This is going to be a fantastic series. I kind of am on the same page as you, where I don't really know which way I lean. I think I lean Thunder, because I feel like their team is more well-rounded. I think they have talent at the top, but at the same time, like, their whole starting lineup is pretty solid and can really make an impact on the game. I think Dallas has Luka and Kyrie. They're excellent ball handlers, excellent creators. I think they have great role guys in Derek Lively, Derek Jones Jr. But I'm not convinced about the other guys. I think, like, the supporting cast of J-Dub and Chet, Lou Dort, Giddy, outweighs what you have with Dallas. Like, you want to really put all your eggs in Tim Hardaway Jr.? Maybe not. Maybe you're actually putting them with Luka. But the way Luka plays my career ball, you need those guys to step up when it's their time. And they got through the Clippers, but I don't know. So it's a tightly contested matchup. It's going to be one to keep your eyes on. It sucks because it's very tough for me to care about these series when they're not in the East. But it should be quite the spectacle.
Yeah, Luka hasn't been shooting particularly efficiently.
He's like sneaky hurt, but maybe not. He also never is that efficient.
Kyrie has been super efficient, though. 51-45 splits on 8 threes a game is crazy. PJ Washington stepped up. Nobody else is averaging a ton of points, but sneaky. Derek Jones Jr. shooting 38% from 3 on 2 a game.
Not bad.
Everything. Need that from him. He won them a game, or had them close to winning a game when they made that massive comeback, because the Clippers were letting him shoot and he made a couple big shots.
Is this your time?
Credit to him. Dante Exum has not been playing in the playoffs, unfortunately. He got the boot.
He had that stretch where he made the game winner against, I think, Sacramento, and I was like, I would put my head in the microwave if he did that to the Celtics.
I'll probably go Thunder in 7 as well. But
probably a 7-gamer.
Okay. We talked about Nuggets T-Wolves on a past pod, so we don't have to talk about that one now. So we can.
You'll know talk who the winner about the Bucks. Is, though.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, true. The game's tonight. Let's talk about the Bucks. The Bucks obviously got bounced from the playoffs, and there have been some very fun quotes since then. Or at the very least, thoughts. I don't know. So
people are talking.
Doc. On Dame. Dame's thoughts were, coach, I was never in the shape that I needed to be, and I had to wait all summer. Because you're scared to play when you're about to get traded, so you don't want to get injured. So he says, it was my worst offseason I ever had. I guarantee you that next year you're going to see me in the best shape you've ever seen. So, cool.
We're all trying to find the guy who did this.
Yeah, I wonder. And then the Pat Bev saga. What a fucking loser. Like, that shit made me so mad. The ball thing is one thing. I think he could genuinely get like a long suspension for that. I heard Draymond talking about it on his podcast, and Draymond said that's probably the closest you can get to like jumping in the stands and like having an altercation with a fan, which like we saw the last time that happened, what happened. So I think this is not going to bode well for Pat Bev. The thing that pissed me off more, you can't kick a reporter out of the scrum like that. Like that's such a shitty, like you're like, that made me so mad. Like what a loser. And like respect to the reporter for the way she handled it, for just like being like, whatever, I'll just back off. And he called her to apologize afterwards. But like, that's unacceptable behavior. She's there trying to do her fucking job and you're there being a fucking loser because you lost in the playoffs. Like that's so fucking unacceptable. Hmm. That made me so mad. That's such a fucking, like, she's just there to do her job, man. That's the equivalent of you fucking yelling at a grocery store clerk because the price is bad. Like, she doesn't fucking control that. She's there trying to do her job and you're being an asshole. No, what the fuck is wrong with you? No, it made me so mad. Like that was the biggest loser shit.
You should be mad, in fairness. I'm just breaking your balls. I think
that made me so mad.
You know, having been in a few press conferences, it's just kind of a tense situation. I'm sure if you're a veteran on the beat, it's a little less tense, but it's still like you don't want to mess up. You're around your peers and you want to earn and maintain their respect. So, you know, him acting like that probably didn't make her feel great. I guess it's cool that he apologized, but it's just an insane thing to do from the jump. And I'm a fan of Pat Bev's. I think we'll talk a little bit more about him later. Thought he actually played pretty well in this series, for what I remember. Thought he had a good series. But yeah, kind of weird. Weird meltdown from Pat Bev. Here's Cancun on three from the crowd, and he's like, who wants a souvenir? Catch. Whips it into the crowd. It's all fun and games when they do it in baseball, but anytime an NBA player tries to give away the ball, then it's bad. Kyrie kicks it in the stands. He got fined. All this stuff with the NBA basketball was terrible. But yeah, he got murdered by Nick Wright. Did you hear that?
No, but good.
So Nick Wright like cooked him. Basically, I'll give like a Cliff Notes version. He went and he was like, Pat Bev, very misogynistic of you to do that. And he's all this rah-rah guy, blah, 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 all about culture, belt to ass, whatever. When's the last time you were on a team that actually like went on a deep playoff run? He went like through all the Houston years. He was like first round exit, conference finals, but he was hurt. So they went to the conference finals, then first round exit. Like he just kept going in on him. And it was like, holy shit. Pat Bev really just has like a weird track record in the playoffs. And like, I don't know how much of that is on him. I genuinely think he had a pretty decent series against the Pacers, so I don't know if it's fair to point at him for this. But he did get cooked in the final play of game 3 or 4.
I don't give a shit about the on-court stuff, though. Like I don't care even like a little bit about how he's played, about how his team is
done. Nick Wright said.
I know, and I get that. But this has nothing to do with him as a player. This has to do with him being a fucking asshole for no reason. Like just and even the ball in the crowd thing, right? That fan was probably saying some egregious shit, like past the Cancun, because there was a bit in the Shams article that said, like, oh, there was more obscenities that were said. I get it. I get players being frustrated. I get fans crossing the line. I don't doubt that those Indy fans crossed the line. Indiana has had plenty of fans cross the line. We've seen people kick them out in the past. Like shit happens, right?
LeBron,
you know, all that stuff,
to eject
whatever.
A fan.
He does, but I also don't doubt that the fan said some fuck shit.
I don't doubt it either.
Like, he definitely did. So if Pat Bev, you can't throw the ball, right? Obviously can't throw the ball. The reporter thing, that lady is literally there to do her job. She's an ESPN correct reporter, veteran reporter. You can't kick her out of the scrum. Like that's fucked. That's the worst part. She's there to do her job. She didn't even say anything. She's just holding the mic and you pushed her out. Fuck no. That's so
she didn't say anything horrible. And he was like, listen to the pod.
Yeah, she didn't say a word. And he turns to her and goes, are you subscribed to the podcast? And she you didn't watch it?
I didn't watch the clip.
Oh yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. How have you not watched the clip?
I don't know. I saw like he told the reporter to listen to his podcast.
No, it doesn't
really change it for me.
No.
It's even worse that he, like, she didn't even ask anything first.
You're missing some important context here. One second. Let me share this with you so you can get the full reason why I'm so fucking angry. Here you go.
All right.
Excuse me. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe? I do not.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket. In previous games, y'all have been able to
kind
of get over that hump or maybe. was it anything they did in particular, or was it just
our audio listeners? He keeps pushing her mic out of the way. Down,
there wasn't the stop. They made one. What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? Kind of like you haven't.
You move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You can't do that. You can't do kinda that. Weird. That's not okay. Yeah. That's not. It's not weird. It's just you're an asshole. Like you're. That's
it's bizarre.
Up. Like fuck you. Apparently, he's been doing that to Bucks reporters all season. Like he won't talk to them if they're not subscribed. Like. There's a line, and that is it. People trying to do their jobs, fuck you. You can't do that. You just can't do that. And I like Pat Bev. I've liked Pat Bev. I like the podcast. Ironically, I've liked shit that
Jack
he said,
is sub to the pod. Done.
I am. I like the pod.
Just kidding. Jack sub to the pod.
But you can't do that. That's you can't do that. Whatever. Anyways,
nah, it's unbelievable. Like, yeah, I mean, you nail it. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Try and do her job. Kicked out, unprompted. No. It's not even like she asked him some like question that you might be like, huh, like, I don't know, like if you should ask him that after a loss, like, no, it was unprompted. I just assumed she asked him something he didn't like and then he was weird about it, but that's even worse. No. All right.
And then other Buck stuff, Doc talked about Giannis, or Giannis talked about Doc, I should say. Doc's been in the NBA 25 years. He probably has answers how to come in a game, blah, blah, blah. Doc said he's planning on getting the game together for some off-season trips is what you said. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's kind of weird. Man. This Bucks team, I want to talk about it a little bit more just because we got right into the Dame stuff. They lost this series. Giannis, Achilles. I mean, Giannis, calf. Dame, Achilles. Chris Middleton, knee problems throughout. They're not getting any younger. This feels almost like a crossroads for them where you could be like, if they made substantial moves to reshape the roster. I'm not saying blow it up, but like just kind of like some of the familiar faces are no longer there. It wouldn't be the craziest thing to me. It's like when Belichick was in charge of the Patriots and the whole thing would always be, it's always like they make the move a year early rather than a year late. I don't know if this is a year early. It might be the year and they're in danger of being a year late. But do you really think like the supporting cast is going to continue to hold up? A lot of guys are making a lot of money. Are you going to be able to get anybody that helps you in free agency? I don't think so. I don't think they have a ton of draft picks. They're kind of up the creek here. They're relying on old man Dame, Giannis, who has now been hurt in two straight playoffs, even though he did speak a lot about trying to be healthier and making changes and different things, whether it's his play style, diet, rest, all these different things, part of the Athletic article where I got the Doc quote from.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they have a little bit of pressure on him now. Obviously, this is 2 years in a row. Yes, you can point to injuries and be like, that sucks, but there comes a point where injuries are going to happen because of wear and tear. And it's not just unlucky. It's not like he like had the Hayward thing happen to him. And not that I'm rooting for that, but like you can point the Hayward thing and be like, that could happen to anybody, no matter what they do, no matter how old they are. This is like wear and tear stuff. And it's not only him, it's Dame too. And Middleton's got the injury history. I wouldn't want to be them right now.
Yeah. The Bucks are weird. I think they'll have, I saw somebody Snell season on Twitter say like, I think they could have a Timberwolves-esque resurgence next season. I don't count that out. Like, I do think it is significant to have an off season to gel, have like a fully healthy season to gel, all that stuff, and I think that's possible. But the vibes are very weird in Milwaukee, so we'll have to be. Speaking of weird vibes, Tobias Harris. Yeah,
It's not that important.
All right. Tobias Harris, Philadelphia. Weird vibes is what I was
going
to say.
He's gone. Pistons. He's going to be everything we've heard.
Mm-hmm. And then they're probably going to end up chasing another star because they'll have cap space. David Aldridge floated the idea of Jimmy Butler return because Jimmy wants a max 2-year extension. Do we know if the Heat want to do that? I don't know. Jimmy Butler in Philly makes some sense from a purely basketball perspective, but I don't think he'd want to do it after the whole Tobias Harris over me. I don't think he's going back to Philly. That said, Paul George to Philly, he can sell me.
Philly's in this weird spot too, because they have now lost every year. Not even hope of winning. I mean, last year they had a little bit of hope of making the conference finals and they messed it up. James Harden's not there anymore. Embiid is continuously hurt. if it wasn't for this Tobias Harris cap space that they now have in a free agent class that has some talent at the top, because one, they didn't want to extend James Harden, so he'll be there. He won't be coming back, but he'll be there. Paul George will also be there because the Clippers couldn't reach an extension with him. And then there's this weird LeBron angle to all of it where he might leave. He's a free agent, right? Or did he sign an extension?
Who?
LeBron. He's a free agent.
Yeah, he's a free. He's like a. I think he's a player option.
Okay, he's a free agent. Is basically what it is. So either one of those guys could wind up there for free without having to give up anything, without having to give up assets. You could just add them to your team and upgrade Tobias Harris. I think it's somewhat of an appealing situation. But Bill Simmons said this on his podcast. If you're Paul George and you're leaving the Clippers, meanwhile, the Magic are also interested in him, which we'll get to. Would you really want to leave injury-prone Kawhi for injury-prone Joel Embiid? Probably not.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like you're making much of a difference and you're uprooting your whole life to go move coasts. So you probably would choose Orlando. So right now we're in this little window where there's no, is Embiid's time in Philly done, because there's optimism with their cap space that they might be able to do something to make the team better. But if free agency comes around and they really can't do anything and nothing really changes, maybe there's some talk about Embiid being done.
Embiid being done with what?
Philadelphia, like wanting a trade. Or maybe they decide they're done with him, because I mean, this man is just not healthy.
If I'm Paul George, I'd still rather they go to Philly than Orlando, because I think, the height of success in Philly is just way better than the height of success.
We also have to take Clippers too as an option in this.
Yeah, very true. I think we might be getting kicked out soon, so we've gone for way too long. But we'll see if I get kicked out of the Arabic Center. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I just think Embiid is so good that you need to go to Philly if that's the option. I think that's the best. Yeah, I don't know what Paul George is doing. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think he'll still resign in L.A., but I guess we'll have to see. I don't know.
I mean, LA just got bounds too. And he is like a top question for them. The Athletic put out one of their signature tell-alls the day after everything goes to shit for whatever team. And so this is what Sam Amick and Law of Mortary had to say about Paul George. I mean, we already know about the Sixers and Magic. But he's got a player option for next season, and he's widely expected to decline and pursue a new deal and become a free agent. So, like we kind of talked about, it's either there, Philly or Orlando, and then they still have Harden that they have to worry about, who sounds like he wants to stay there, but there's going to be a weird, how much money does he want to make and how much do they want to pay him wrinkle to this that might make it difficult. And then Westbrook, who played a big part in their success when they were doing well this season, wasn't playable in the playoffs. He has this confidence about him that he can go somewhere else and now help out. I don't really know what the market is for him, but if that relationship is burned, then that's one less guy that they have.
I don't know. I feel like the Clippers are just going to look the same next season. I'm not. I don't know.
If they do, it's good for the Celtics. But they don't have a choice. Like, they're cornered pretty much, the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Like, as an organization, their ideal situation is Paul George, Harden, Westbrook, all back. Not ideal if you're like just a general NBA team. You're putting your future in the hands of all aging stars, which I guess happens, but they really didn't get the benefit of the having the aging stars yet.
Yeah, no. It's tough. The injuries have started to pile up. But speaking of LA, the Lakers let Darvin Ham go. No more Darvin Ham in Rip. LA for the Lakers. He's donezo.
Problems are
Mike Budenholzer, JJ Redick, Kenny Atkinson, and Charles Lee are the potential top candidates to replace him. If I'm them, I'd rather coach the Hornets. I don't want to go to LA. Unless the only one I think could want to go to LA, I think Bud would be fine. I think JJ Redick would be. If I'm Charles Lee or Kenny Atkinson, I don't want that job. But I think the other two would be fine.
To me, Bud's the only one. Any of those other guys, I think you have like too much at stake to have LeBron step on your reputation and throw you under the bus a million times. So I wouldn't want this job. Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole if I'm trying to make my name as a head coach.
Yeah, I guess
It's a lose-lose. If your team's good, it's all him. And if the team's bad, it's all your fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I think, JJ, if you're a first-time head coach, you can't coach LeBron. I think that's the lesson we've learned.
What about the pod? It's a no-no. Weird tensions on the pod. It's true. Coach. It's like they're going over like X's and O's stuff, and LeBron's like sniping at him. Passive-aggressive, like, huh, I wish our team could do this.
Next one, speaking of a team in trouble, Matt Ishbia recently talked about the Suns with what I think is just like the best quote in the world. Basically, Matt Ishbia gets up on the stage after the Suns get swept in the playoffs, says, ask the other 29 GMs, 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team, our draft picks and everything. As is. The house is not on fire. We're in a great position. It's not hard to fix. We're not like, hey, we don't have enough talent to win a championship. We have enough talent to win a championship. Do we have enough continuity? There's a lot of things we can look at. Do we have leadership in place, et cetera, et cetera. This is the house on fire dog meme. Yeah. Have you seen that?
This is fine.
I listened to Low Post, and they counted them. Man, Ishbia, a lot of teams would say, fuck no, we don't want your situation. Celtics, nah. Nuggets, nah. Thunder, nah. Spurs, nah. Right? Like Knicks, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many teams that just have no interest in that. If I'm the Kings, I'd rather have the Kings situation than the Suns. Are you kidding? What are we doing?
They're a worse version of the Clippers. They have all their money poured into three guys. Two of them are aging. Bradley Beal just simply isn't good. Durant's good, but he's not Durant of old. And Booker's probably in his prime. And this is a really, really weird quote from Ishbia because it feels very Rick Pitino-esque. He came in, bought the team, fucked everything up, rushed everything, wanted to be the hero owner, trades for Durant, gives up Miles Bridges, gives up a billion draft picks, trades for Brad Beal, gives up all of the remaining draft picks. They have nobody that they can spend money on because they're not only tied up their money in these three guys, but then there's the new CBA. They're very limited in what they can do. He fucked it up. He fucked it up. And they're fucked. He took out all these guys that were similar in age to Booker, where they could have had a longer window to compete. Mm-hmm. And now it's Durant and Bradley Beal and Nurkic. Good luck.
They're cooked. They're cooked. All right. Do you want to do the rat list quick so I can get out of here? Because CLNS guys are leaving, and I do not want to have to be the last one in this place and get kicked out. So, I'll let you do a rat list, and I'll do one, then we can get out of here so I'm not the last person in the building.
Sure. Rat list, ambulances. So ambulances, I always get a kick out of ambulances when they're on the road. Ambulances are serving a great purpose. They're making sure everyone gets to their destination if they're injured or sick or having an emergency. You need ambulances. There's nothing wrong with ambulances. The problem that I have with ambulances is when I'm driving, and then there's just an ambulance lurking like way in the back, has its lights on, blasting the sirens, and it's like Jaws. But they're not really treating it like they should. They're just kind of driving normal, but they have all the fanfare with it. Like, is it an emergency or is it not? Let's see you put your money where your mouth is and actually get the person to the hospital or wherever they're trying to go.
Yeah, I hate it. It's super awkward. I hate having to drive behind him. The worst are the people who go behind the ambulance and use it as the speed lane. Fuck you.
No.
You're the worst. Yes.
I don't do it, horrible. But respect. I respect.
No,
the grift
no respect. No. Unacceptable. Why? You got to let the people get back. You got to let the people get back in their spot. You just fuck up the flow of traffic even more if you do that. Fuck you.
What if you were in
this shot. What do you mean? In this spot?
What
fine,
if you were in the high speed lane, then you got over and then you benefit?
No, because that's not how it happens. People just cut in behind the ambulance to cut everybody off. Rat list. I'll rat list the roads in Alston because they're just so congested. And then there was a mail truck that was just chilling, delivering mail. And so it was just stuck not only behind the mail truck, but also people couldn't get the other way because it's a two-lane road, but there's cars parked on both sides.
Cars on the side. This is a good one. Providence, it's like that too. It's awful. You just got to like, it's like when you're walking and there's somebody else coming in the door and you do like the weird Euro step thing where you don't know who's going first. That's it, but you're driving.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think I'm the last person in the building now. So apologies for a rush late pod, but I really want to get out of here before they kick me out. So thank y'all for tuning in. I promise we'll do a better rat list on a upcoming pod. But yeah, thank y'all. I'll let Sam take it out.
Hey, thank you very much for listening and watching. If you're watching, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell. There's almost 2,500 of you. So keep it growing. We appreciate that. Leave a like, comment. If you subscribe, you won't miss any of our daily uploads. We're coming at you with something new every day at 5 a.m., whether it's these pods Tuesday, Thursday, and a weekend day, usually Sunday, game recaps the morning after each game or other videos in between. We got you covered. Plus, we're live for Talking Seas Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings tentatively. Celts of the Roundtable around 6 p.m. on Tuesday. And Jack and I are here for pregame before every game for a half hour. So come hang out. It's a blast. We're also on Spotify and Apple. So if you follow us there, the game recaps and full pods will go right in your feed. Leave a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. Email us. We appreciate all the email love we got today. hbtcpod@gmail.com is the address for that. So if you want to get in touch with us, be part of the show, send along your thoughts on the team, rat list, whatever it may be, we'll read it. You can find us on socials at How About Them Seas, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Facebook is just the name of the podcast. Our streams are there. They're on YouTube and they're on Twitter. Jack's Twitter is Jack's Money NBA. Mine is at Sam LaFrance NBA. That's it for us.